Hello, Karine. We're starting. You missed the fun part. Okay. Well, it doesn't have to be true. You can still say it. Oh, I should say, so there are handouts. And the handouts are, the first handout, all of them are on my website, in the archive, either of this month or the previous month. And they are the two important Blackboard shots from last time. The sort of the handwritten version of the same.
So you're doing color now.
What? Am I doing color work?
It's very, very modern art.
Well, it's because, but it's completely random, right? It's
well, it's not inconsistent.
It's because I processed the image and I didn't bother to process it terribly well.
You could be selling this for a
okay.
Lives.
So I think I want to start. I think I want to start with the. Oh wait, what did I give you? Oh yeah. Yeah, and there is a third handout, which I will go give later. But I think I want to start with the I want to start with this. So this is what we did last time with minor revisions, and I just want to remind you where we are. Okay, so again, the idea is to study this quotient. Okay, so AW modulo the further relations that a commutator is equal to this minus that. Okay, and my notation for a little blob will be C sub whatever the tail goes to. So C sub X, okay, or C sub Y. I guess C is circle or whatever. And then I had five theorems. Last time it was four, but now it's five. And they go 0 to 4, but 0 is mentioned last. Sorry. The first one is, the first three theorems, okay, the first two theorems are how to multiply tails. The third theorem is how to switch tails and heads. The fourth theorem is sort of, I realized I missed it, but it must be there. It's sort of the disjoint union theorem. How to take disjoint unions? It's total. It's trivial. And the last theorem is the value of the R matrices. Okay. So first of all, so again, this is just a reminder. I'm assuming you've seen this. Okay. So the first theorem is the commutativity of the tail multiply diagram. So tail multiply on the level of symbols, on the level of beta calculus, goes to tail multiply in a beta. Goes to multiplication in a beta, but this is a multiplication that will involve only tails. The second theorem. The second theorem is, I should have said something. So I made some change of notation and some further notation. So I asserted this theorem for, in fact, two maps from the symbol world to the diagram world. Okay. So again, the reason I call this the symbol world is that sort of a matrix over here is a symbol for a huge combination of diagrams. And the point is that I have enough symbols to, so that all operations can act on them, and that, so that anything, so that the basic things I need have symbols. So in other words, I can do computation in the world of symbols. Alternatively, you could have called it a formula. So a picture like this is a formula for a vast number of things in here. Okay? But anyway, I had two maps from the symbol world to the diagram world. One map was ISS, so I symmetrized, and in fact I stands for interpretation. So this is how you interpret a single symbol. So one is the semi-symmetrized interpretation, and the other one is the renormalized semi-symmetrized interpretation, right? Which I just also called beta, I beta. So I semi-symmetrized just said W stands for wheels, or in our case it's just the one wheel, okay? And the entries of the matrix stand for arrows with coefficients as given by the entries. So you take these arrows with their coefficients and exponentiate them, and then you you apply chi-SS, and then you interpret it as diagrams. So basically, sort of a priori, the arrows are floating in air, and chi is the sum of the average of all ways of connecting them to a each one to the right chord, to the right strand. Okay. Good. And then I beta was the same, except with some renormalization. And the renormalization last time was called J, and now it's exactly the same, except it's called K. And the reason is that I wanted to reserve J for something else. Okay? So, you define KJ to be, okay, maybe before that, you define bracket alpha, where alpha is a column, to be the dot product of this column with the canonical column, which is the column that has sort of CI in row I. Okay? So that's bracket alpha. And then KJ is log of 1 plus bracket of column J divided by bracket of column J. Okay? I didn't reveal why. Okay? And I don't know why in some sense. Why? Because it works. Okay? Okay.
So is alpha J a column?
Alpha J is column number, so J will always denote columns, unless I'm confused. So, right, I mean, J is, right, alpha IJ. So, maybe you should read it as alpha of dot J. So, I is arbitrary, and J is fixed. Okay, so alpha J is, well, I said it enough times. And I said it sufficiently, I think, okay? And then chi SS is, sorry, not chi SS, IRSS or I beta, so the renormalized interpretation map, is you multiply column J by KJ, and then you apply the same map as before. Okay? So now I wanted to make this official. And here is the officialization. Okay, so there is a map from the symbol space to itself called K, and it's the map which maps a matrix to So, I mean, it's a matrix with an exceptional entry, omega. So omega is not touched, but it maps sort of the matrix part of the symbol to the same thing, but with column j multiplied by kj, where kj is as before. Okay? And then I beta is just ISS precomposed with the map k. Okay? So nothing to say about this, okay? You can't argue. Okay? And then the tiny bit of news is that there is a J map going the other way, and the J map unmultiplies by KJ. Okay? Except you have to unmultiply by kj means divide by kj, right? Except you need to compute kj, you need to compute what kj is, not from the original matrix, because now you're given the target matrix. So computing kj is computing the constant, or what you multiply with, depends on what the input is. If the input is kj times, the computation becomes different. So the definition of jj, which is what you multiply by to go the other way, is the exponential of the column sum minus 1 divided by the column sum. Okay? And if you don't believe me, let's try that. Okay? So I'm asserting that J is the inverse of K. So that the map J is the inverse of the map K. It's not that the coefficients the J coefficients are the inverse of the K coefficients. Okay? So let's try that. So alpha IJ will go to, via the J map, to the matrix JJ alpha ij. Okay? And now I want to compute, where JJ is, what was it? Log of 1 plus column sum of alpha j. Not column sum, it's column sum with coefficients. Right? It's the sum of the column, but each entry is taken with a different product, with a different coefficient. So, divided by column sum of alpha j. Okay? And now this goes to, it will go to kj times jj times alpha ij. This is by the map k, okay? Where kj is given by the formula, it's exactly the opposite. I'm sorry, I first do k and then j. Sorry, k is this, and then I need to do J. Well, it's the same by commutativity of multiplication, it's the same thing. But now, where JJ is given by the formula written over there, so it's E to the column sum of this matrix, so KJ alpha IJ minus 1 divided by the column sum of that matrix, again. So of kj alpha ij. Okay, and this I need to simplify. Okay, I'm just trying to convince you that k and j are inverse maps. Okay? By the way, why am I bothering to do that? Because the formulas are neater here, but their proofs are here. So I need to know that I can convert formulas from here to here, and to convert formulas, I need both K and G, I need both the map and its inverse. Mm-hmm. Right? If I have two things here, sorry, if I know how to multiply two things here, head multiply or swap or whatever, if I know how to swap something here, then how will I know how to swap something here? Well, I'll push it via K, I'll swap here, and then I'll push back. So I need to know both maps. So that's why I'm doing this, okay? So anyway, let's compute this. So, the KJ just goes out because, well, it's just a factor per column. Okay, so this is equal to e to the kj. So what's kj? Sorry, it's it's just alpha j. Okay, what's kj? It's a log of 1 plus alpha j divided by alpha j times, the division is outside the log. Right, this is what kj is. I pulled out alpha j, and I still have the alpha j. I've pulled out the kj, I still have the alpha j. Right, and this is divided by, so kj, minus 1, sorry. And there are parentheses here. Okay? And this is divided by, so again, I pull out the log, so I get log of 1 plus bracket alpha j divided by bracket alpha j times bracket alpha j. Okay? So this is, okay, so let's see, most stuff cancels. So this cancels this, the log cancels the exponential, and then the 1 plus cancels the minus 1. Okay? So all that we're left with is bracket alpha j divided by log of 1 plus bracket alpha j. Okay? So this is jj. And nicely, it's exactly the inverse of kj. So, over here, you'll get 1. So I've just shown that the composition is the identity. And the fact that the inverse composition is the identity follows because it's 1 to 1 and on to. But alternatively, you can compute it. And it's the same, it's the same ugly computation. Okay? But isn't it lovely how so much cancels? Karine, isn't it nice? Sorry. So let me just continue with the propositions. So I'm still, in fact, strictly speaking, this was an aside from the reminder. So let me continue with the reminder. So the next reminder is that there is a head multiply. Okay? The next reminder after that, and I have nothing to say about it, that the operation of head multiply, which is defined here, so you merge two columns by taking their sum plus the second one multiplied by the norm of the first. Norm means dot with C. It's not the marginal, I don't know what to call it. Okay. And then there is the swap. And this is the monster, okay? So, but do I need to... Okay, let me remind you what it says. So, the point is that from a beta of x and y, where x is a tail and y is a head, there are two maps into a beta of z. One is where you put the tails before below the heads, and the other is where you put the heads below the tails. And in fact, this map is invertible. This map is invertible. Or in fact, both of these maps are invertible. Because if you have a strand that has both tails and heads in it, on it, you can uniquely factorize it to tails before heads or to heads before tails. Okay? And in fact, that's a version of the PBW theorem. You know, it's the analog of the fact that in the universal enveloping algebra, you can always commute things so that all the E's will appear before all the F's, or all the F's will appear all below before all the E's.
It's kind of like what appears in Pithing on Cashdown, like
the
pretty much the same word in Emmy have used.
Yes, and making the connection precise would be lovely. But yeah, it's something that appears, the spirit of this thing appears in other places. So therefore, there is a map going from here to here. And I'm looking for the symbol map that will make it a commutative square. And when I wrote down the commutative square, I was so sure I was going to make mistakes in copying that the first thing that I did was I took a screenshot of the part of the program that does it. And this is here. You can't see it because it's too small, but I've put it in the middle of the diagram, and then I use the program to write the formula. Okay? Okay. Then comes proposition 4, which did not exist last time. And it's a silly proposition. So basically, there is yet another operation, which is the sort of the disjoint union. So if you have a symbol whose labels are different than another symbol, so I mean the head labels and the tail labels are different here than here. Oh, this should be. No, sorry, that's fine. Then you can make a symbol, the disjoint union symbol, which is just, well, you multiply the omegas and you take the sort of block diagonal matrix with the arrows, okay? And on the diagram side, there is a similar thing. So first of all, such symbols, a pair of such symbols, will represent an element in, well, the first one will represent an element here, the second one will represent an element here, so the pair will represent an element in the tensor product. In fact, even in the set theoretic direct product, but you can just map it to the tensor product by tensoring the two things. And then, this maps to, so if you have a diagram with one skeleton and another diagram with a disjoint skeleton, you can combine the two, you can just, you know, make it a diagram on the union of the skeleton. Okay? So the claim is that this diagram is commutative, and I'm only stating it for completeness. I mean, last time I forgot to state it, but it's essential. The whole idea is you build tangles by taking parts and then gluing them. So the head multiply and the tail multiply and the swap tell you how to glue things, but you have to first of all take two tangles and put them together. And this is how you take two tangles and put them together. So, anyway, the proof is obvious. I mean, sort of, this is, so, okay. The J's for the K's for the columns here are the same as the, so the, okay, here's there is a, okay, you know what, maybe I'll do it first for ISS. So for ISS, it's obvious, I mean, no K's and J's, right? No K's, because, the tensor product of two exponentials is the exponential whose covariance matrix is the is this. I mean, I don't know what to say. It's it's obvious. Okay, and then it's compatible with I beta because the K's for this matrix are just, well, the first few K's are just the K's of A1, and the last few K's are just the K's of A2, so it matches too. So basically everything works. And then the last proposition, proposition zero, is the fact that the R matrices go to, so not the R matrices, the, okay, so the R matrix in the diagrammatic sense comes from the funny formula in the symbol world, and we tested it last time. But basically, the K factors cancel. In fact, the right way to do it is to go, I mean, the thing that maps to this via ISS is the matrix that has just a single entry and it's called 1. Right? Because ISS will map a matrix with an entry 1 to an exponential of an arrow. So I just need to know how to go from, and then how do you get the thing, okay, so then which matrix will have its K equal the matrix with entry 1? And the answer is you just have to apply J to the matrix 1, and J multiplies by this thing. So hence this is the answer, okay? Okay. Sorry. So, well, now we have to prove these theorems. Okay? We really have only two theorems to prove, because, I mean, theorem one is trivial. I mean, everything was proven as we went through it, except proposition two and proposition three. So we just have to prove these. Okay? Okay. Yeah.
For the R matrix, the proposition zero, does ISS map it to W times exponential, or?
Yes.
So where is the W? In the formula, I just don't understand.
Here?
Yeah.
W is 1.
Oh, it's 1. Okay.
So, I mean, some of WN only...
Right.
Yeah, WN only plays a role in the swap. Okay? So, I really only have to prove two theorems to you, two propositions. I mean, how do you do, well, this computation, which is somehow bearable, and this one, which seems to be unbearable, okay? So, here's a program that helps. So, the program, let me tell you what the program does. First of all, it loads an implementation of the beta calculus, so of the I beta. So, well, that Zhuji and I played with for a few months now, okay? And then the only thing I've added was an interpretation of the K map and the J map. Not interpretation, implementation of the K map and the J map. Okay? And let me show you by example how it works. And then I'll tell you why I did it by computer. I mean, I basically want to emphasize that this is brainless work. Okay? A part of the work is brainless. Sorry, then there is a part which isn't. Okay? So, for example, I took, let B be this. Hello, Yael? Ken, Vani Bemza. Hi. So, you know, basically all these, you know what? I'm telling the computer to print five things. The first one is B, which is given by this formula. But rather than interpreting the formula, so basically it's an omega and then an alpha times a tail at one, a head at one, and so on. Okay, but rather than interpreting this formula, let's see what the printout is. And the printout is in the format we're used to. So B gets printed as omega and then the matrix alpha, beta, gamma, delta. So alpha is really alpha 1, 1, beta is really alpha 1, 2, and so on. Okay? And then, just to check, I've done B applied and then applied to a J, B and then applied to a J and then K, then B and then K, and then B and then K and then J. So just to test. So first of all, B and then applied to a J, so the J map multiplied by the J function. So the J function is e to the x minus 1 divided by x, but the J function evaluated on the column norms, the column sums, okay? So here it is, the J function, you know, this is the column norm, so alpha C1 plus gamma C2, alpha plus gamma, right? And so basically this is the J map. And then B, J, K is back to where we started, so I've just tested what was written here. By the way, you'd think it's easy, but what's easy to us is not so easy for the computer, because Mathematica, when you do log of, or e to the log of something,
you have to unprotect it.
Yeah. Mathematica, when you do e to the log of something, does not simplify it because it's not necessarily, so e to the log z is not necessarily z. Sorry, e to the alpha times log z is not necessarily alpha z. So, no, z. Sorry, I don't know. I mean, there are issues with univalued and whatever, and these issues don't apply to us because everything is power series, and sort of the issues don't matter. So, but I had to artificially tell Mathematica to simplify powers of logarithms or whatever. Anyway, this done, it works. Okay, and then B and apply to it K, so you get the same thing, but now with logarithms. K is the log version, sort of J. And again, B apply to, then do K and then do J, you get back to the beginning. Okay, so I've just tested. Now, why did I do that? Because now I know what, okay, now I can tell what are the things that I need to prove are. Because, you see, okay, so now I take a different B, this is this B, okay? And I apply to it head, so okay, it's this B. I've put zeros here, and you'll see later why it doesn't matter. And then I apply to it head multiply, and you get this. So you get, right, the head multiply of two columns is you add the columns, and then you add, and then you take the norm of the first one times the second. So the norm of the first one is alpha C1, and the second is just beta, so you get this. Okay? And then I said, I mean, I did it in part, in several steps, but really, I wanted to see what head multiply would be without the renormalization. Okay? So, in other words, what's the formula for head multiply in the sort of, if I were to use ISS rather than I beta? So I just take B, apply to it J, then apply head multiply, then apply K. So J goes from, well, I mean, I'm confused about the directions, but it's clear. I mean, up to whether this is J and whether this should be J and this should be K or the other way around, it's clear that I've done the right thing. Okay? And I've done the right thing. Okay? So in other words, in ISS, this is the formula I need to prove. Or using ISS, this is the formula I need to prove. Okay? And indeed, this is the formula that we've proven last time. Okay? So maybe I'll come back to it later, but I'm trying to tell you, well, what are the formulas I will need to prove? So basically, I have my two propositions, the head multiply proposition and the swap proposition, and they become statements about multiplying exponentials in some way, and I want to know what the statements are. So here is one, and I'll let's see what the other one is. Okay? So maybe this is first pass, it's a bit of a summary, and then we can do it again in more detail. So here is the exact same thing but with swap. So now suppose I have an alpha beta gamma delta matrix and I want to figure out how swap of one and one acts to it. So it's really, this one has nothing to do with this one. I mean, how swapping T1 with H1, these are different symbols, acts on it. And so first of all, TH swap will give this answer. And this is the answer that's on the blackboard. This is the answers that I've advertised. And it's a horrible mess, but that's what it is, okay? And then, what it means in the world of exponentials is, so take B, apply to J, then apply swap, then apply K, and it's this formula. So it's this lovely formula that I need to prove. So I have to tell, so this is way too hard. No, I don't see how to prove, how to work with formulas like that. Furthermore, I don't see how to find formulas like that. So remember that, I mean, I started not knowing what the formula is. So now I'm doing the easy way. I'm assuming I know the formula and I'm trying to prove it. But I started not knowing what the formula is. So how do you come up with a formula like this? Okay? So the point is, so you factorize the formula. You do it in several steps. Okay? So, suppose you need to swap I first spent a long time struggling to find the formula directly, and then sort of the idea to factorize came later. But anyway, here's the picture, and also here's why this formula is complicated, and then I'll tell you how to sort of try to simplify it. So really, we have T1, H1, T2, and, no, let me do it this way, H2 and T2, and we have tons of arrows going in between, namely, we have arrows, an exponential of arrows with coefficients alpha, sort of, I mean, each arrow comes with, so when you exponentiate, it's not e to the arrow, it's 1 plus alpha times the arrow plus alpha squared times the arrow squared divided by 2, and so on. So you have, so alpha is not the name of the arrow, it's the coefficient of the arrow. So we have alpha many arrows like this, and then we have beta many arrows like this. Am I right? Yeah, T1 to H2. And then we have gamma many arrows like this. And then we have delta many arrows like that. And so, again, what it means is that I take the product of these exponentials, so somehow they, right? And then I symmetrize the ends, okay? And then, and again, symmetrization only really matters on the heads and on the, so here and here, okay? And then what I want to do, so, you know, the typical, so, sorry, and then I apply the multiplication map. So the multiplication map will, so it's the multiplication of these two. So, I mean, these will stay floating, and I don't care about them. Well, I do care about them, but sort of, they stay floating. And here, I'll have the multiplication where I have tails before heads. So I'll get many things of this general nature. Okay, so this is what a typical... This is what a typical diagram in the answer will look like. And of course, each one comes with coefficients, which are various powers of alpha, beta, gamma, delta, okay? And then, what I want to do is to... So, but here, there is a... You know, there is a line, and to the left of the line, it's all tails, and to the right of the lines, it's all the line, it's all heads. So I want to swap. Okay? Now, it's going to be a horrible mess. So how do I swap? I take, I don't know, one of the heads, and I start commuting it across things. Every time I, so because I want to bring it to the other side, right? I really, let's, rather than swapping, let me think of it as bringing all the heads to the other side. Every time it crosses against another head, you get a commutator which you simplify using the relations, okay? But then you still have a head which you still have to swap. And then, every time you pass through here, that's, by the way, the easy part. Every time you pass through here, you'll get the commutator of a head and a tail, and again, you can reduce it using the relations, and you keep going. But the horrible thing is that there is feedback. So, sometimes, after doing all sorts of after doing all the work, it's like snakes and ladders, right? So after doing all this work, you'll try to commute one of the heads against a tail of something that goes back to here. So, you know, bad news, you've stepped on a snake, right? You're back to the beginning of the process. Okay? Now, it's not so bad news, because it's again the cheese grater thing. I mean, every time you do it, you've meanwhile accumulated coefficients, so you're in a higher degree. So it's in principle a convergent process. And in principle, sorry, you're not happy. Okay. And in principle, you could compute it by somehow figuring out what is the sort of per step price you have to pay, and then you have to sum over paying it n times. So sum, you know, the usual sum over a to the n is 1 over 1 minus a, okay? So basically what I'm saying is that it should not be so in the formula. Oh, and somehow, whatever the price is, it better be proportional to alpha. Whatever the sort of, the snake costs alpha. So you're going to get 1 over 1 minus something that has to do with alpha. Okay? And then you can, I spent a huge amount of time trying to build a model for that in my mind, sort of to actually try to make it concrete. And then figure out exactly what comes in and write the formula for the answer, and I essentially failed. I mean, every time I tried, I got the wrong it never worked. Okay? But all I'm saying is that it's not surprising that in the end result, you'll get a formula with alpha in the denominators. So let's look at the formula here, at the formulas that you get here, and, well, you get alpha in the denominators in various places. I don't know what to say. Okay. So, okay. This was the failing idea, okay? So what's the working idea? So, I mean, it wasn't failing on principle, it just got too complicated. So what's the working idea? The working idea was to say, let me first factorize this part. So let me rewrite this as let me figure out what the coefficients would be for rewriting it so that all the heads whose tails come from afar come here, then all the heads here, then all the sort of feedback heads, and then and tails commute, so these I could just write this way. Okay? And then, in principle, all I need to do is something simple. So first of all, I need to figure out how to factorize. But you see, since I know how to head multiply, I also know how to unmultiply, to factorize, in principle. And we already did head multiply, or rather we haven't done, but it's already been put in the to-do list. So first of all I need to figure out which coefficients will occur here. So now it will not be the original alpha, beta, gamma, delta, but it will be alpha prime, beta prime, gamma prime, and delta prime. Actually, no reason in the world why beta prime and delta prime will be different from delta. Since they don't, the factorization only plays alpha and gamma. So really, alpha will change to some alpha prime, and gamma will change to some beta gamma prime. And then I need to know how to swap this over. And I need to, so, which is easy, because these all commute with themselves, so it's just with each other. So it's just a matter of swapping one arrow. And swapping one arrow is, well, it's a wheel. So diagram to the right minus diagram to the left is a single wheel. So it's only a matter of swapping this, and then it's a matter of swapping, okay, and then after you've swapped this, it's factored, you can put it to the side. It's commutative, you can put it to the side, you can bring it in back again later when you want, it doesn't matter. And then you have to swap just these with these. But now there is no snakes and ladders, it's a simpler computation. And it's only ladders. Okay, it's you just swap in one, there is no feedback, no feedback. Okay? So that was the idea.
Mm-hmm. So on the so going from the left to the right, you're to separate the tails of the alphas. I guess we just use tails commute. But what about the heads part?
Oh, how did I?
Yeah.
So this I said since I already know how to head multiply, I can also head factorize. It's not going to be trivial.
Okay.
I mean, figuring out alpha prime and gamma prime is as complicated, so essentially this is the inverse, the operation going here is essentially the inverse of head multiply. So in other words, I need to find which alpha prime and gamma prime are such that when I head multiply them, I will get this thing. So it's essentially the inverse of head multiply. And head multiply in itself was non-trivial, so, okay? So anyway, so basically I'm telling you, this failed, right? This point, this thing failed. So let's replace it by so let's try to replace it by something simpler. Zhuzhi, you're barely awake. I am sorry for you. Is there anything we can do to make your life easier? I mean, you know, there is no reason to feel sorry about, I mean.
No, it's okay.
So, you know what I do when I drive and I'm barely awake? I do this. Okay? So, if you want, well, I've drunk from this water bottle, you don't want, so, but there is a fresh water bottle over there, and you're welcome to use it. Okay.
Actually, I need to.
Okay, so let's take a break, okay?